Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
And it's Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. I have some bad news and I have some good news. The bad news is you did not win the Powerball last night, but the good news is no one won the Powerball last night. Saturday's drawing, $640 million. If you can't wait until then, tomorrow night, the Mega Millions, $750 million.
That news indeed means that Mike Fisher will be showing up to work right now. Our dual insider for the Mavericks and the Cowboys here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Will Chambers in for Sean. Good morning and thank you, Troy. I totally forgot. I had to check and I guess no Powerball for us, Fish.
Yeah, nothing for you. No. You can't buy a big Bertha and Fish can't buy more, you know, shelves for his Emmys.
Big night for the Mavericks as they win four in a row in Charlotte, despite five guys not being on the floor. And once again, Fish, we've got Rick Carlisle lauding Luka as a potential all-time great afterwards.
Well, he's moved back into the NBA lead in terms of the odds makers for MVP. The numbers are extraordinary. The idea that he's fat has gone away pretty easily, hasn't it? All that really happened, you know, because what do you think? He's changed his body type in 6 days?
Some people are just like that. I had friends of mine that were athletes that looked like that they had baby fat for longer than they just have that look to them.
What he did, Choppy, you're alluding to, he just got his legs under him. He still needs to do more. Remember what Rick Carlisle told us on this very show a couple weeks ago when he said Luka needs to understand that greatness is a year-round proposition. That was a very sweet way, a very smart and sweet way of Rick telling Luka, you can't spend the offseason eating candy bars. That won't work. Not if you want to be what you can be. And so Luka will get there, but for the time being, he just needed to get his legs under him, and now he's terrific. And then Porzingis in the debut last night, and if you watch that, you see why the Mavericks are raving and reminding us, as Carlisle said, we don't just have one franchise player. We have two franchise players. And when we have both of them out there and available, we're really difficult to stop. That was a very good debut for Porzingis. Had the minutes limit and put up numbers, 21 minutes and 16 points and 4 rebounds. And you can see it's coming, and you can see the potential of the franchise.
What can we take away at this point in the season from how this team is playing defense?
Luka said it best. He goes, it's the key to our team.
Yeah.
And Carlisle has tried to preach this. He tried it last year, and it didn't quite take, but I think it's taking now. He's trying to tell them, if you're the number one offense in terms of efficiency and explosiveness of all time, which mm-hmm. Dallas was last year, but you're ranked, you know, 25th on defense, you're not going to win anything. And I think he's said it before, I can't remember what it is, but, you know, be top five offense and top 5-10 defense or something like that. There's some number that bears out. If you want to be a championship team, you have to rank this high over here and that high over there. So Luka last night says defense is the key to our team. Now, there is a maturation alert from a 21-year-old. And then, again, you can see it in his intensity. And once again, what we're seeing from Doncic is he can do anything he wants to do. As soon as he realizes, I need to do that, he just goes and does it. All of a sudden now, this week, he is – I don't want to overstate this because I'm a Mavericks homer. He's good defensively. And he's a stopper, but he's good defensively. And that's a scary proposition for the rest of the NBA.
It is. And you know, what is, as the Mavs move further this week, what is the status of the players who were unavailable last night?
with COVID. And that's a load of guys. And now the Mavericks go to Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you're missing the two guys who were, well, a guy who was a starter in Dwight Powell, a guy who's become a starter in Maxi Kleber, a guy who was a starter in Tim Hardaway. No, not Tim Hardaway, Josh Richardson. A guy who is a starter in, who am I missing, Dorian Finney-Smith, mm-hmm. and then Jalen Brunson, too. So that's five guys. I mean, that should take a chunk out of your plans. But, Will, if you miss five guys but get back Kristaps Porzingis, it almost makes it even.
Yeah, I mean, Carlisle said it afterwards, it's the game changer for them. And that's obviously not breaking news. But it does go to show you that how good these two have grown together on this team, that you can be without five guys, a few of them that are really big for you defensively. And it is Charlotte, so we'll see how it looks tomorrow night when they go up against Milwaukee. By the way, Giannis last night going off a triple-double against Detroit. You know, that's a totally different ball game, but we'll see. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, on the boards as well as Luka, it's looked good.
Oh, moving Willie Cauley-Stein in the starting lineup, and he stayed there last night, in part maybe because Kleba is unavailable, but even with Porzingis playing, I just, and we beat this drum now for a month. Mm-hmm. The numbers show that he's better, Dwight, and the eye test shows that he's better than Dwight. They can do more things, especially if Porzingis is playing. They can do more things with Willie Cauley-Stein starting at center than they can with anybody else on the roster doing so.
We're talking to Mike Fisher here at Fish Sports on Twitter, our dual insider with the Mavericks and the Cowboys here on 105.3 The Fan. How does the Harden trade affect the Mavericks in any way? Is it just about, you know, going from west to east? And could we imagine that Houston was going to be able to pull it together? How much better can they actually get now that they have Oladipo and Wall and people that care?
The trickle down is, yeah, no kidding. And if you listen to this show or read what I write about the NBA, you're aware of this, so I'll do it one more time here. I do not want James Harden on my team. Never, ever, ever, ever. And I'll eat if the Nets win the NBA, if they go to the NBA Finals, and they're on paper they should, then I will not only eat my words, I will eat Brian Broaddus's mud bugs, which I've never eaten before. I've never eaten a mud bug in my life, and I have no plan to. It seems like you're eating a water spider. I don't want to eat spiders.
What is a mud bug? Is that chocolate crawfish or something?
Crawfish. Come on, Will. Where are you from? Kentucky.
I ain't from Louisiana.
put some spaghetti on your chili, why don't you? That's what you do.
Ohio stuff. Easy there.
He's a bad team. He's a brilliant player and a bad teammate and not a great person. For him to go ahead and illustrate just how badly he wanted to get out of Houston by purposely putting on, I don't know how much weight, 20, 50, to help emphasize just how disinterested he was being in Houston. I think that's bad for the league. As I said yesterday to G-Bag Nation, there is a right way to forge an exit in the NBA for a superstar. It happens a lot. And the Mavericks, I mean, listen, I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I want Bradley Beal to want out of Washington so he has a chance to come to Dallas. So I understand that it happens, and I like when it happens when it benefits me, but I don't like that a guy like doesn't show up for training camp, and then when he shows up, he's massively overweight. And then he's playing in games, and he's like scoring 30 points, but he's not even trying. I don't know if you guys – I'm sure, Will, you have. You've watched some Rockets games. He was just walking around. It was embarrassing.
I get it, but I guess, you know, is he a loser? I mean, he's got 9 playoff series victories since the last time we won one. I mean, what does that make us if he's a loser?
But why don't, and I hate to use that word, as a person, listen, by the time you become one of the two greatest, most creative offensive weapons in the history of your sport, and you're an MVP and you're an you know, I'm not going to use that word, but when it comes time down in the playoffs, he's not a winner. you know, their teams on, look at his teams on paper, including the one now. There's no reason that a team with there's no team that should ever be bad if James Harden is on it. He's that good. So just James Harden alone, that team should be scary by itself. Then you have John Wall, that doesn't work. Oh, you have Westbrook, that doesn't work. Let's put him with Dwight Howard. Oh, that doesn't work. Let's put him in Oklahoma City where he had Westbrook and Durant.
Well, let me ask you this, Fish. Let me push back on that a little bit this way, because I think the issue here is James Harden versus Tillman Fertitta. Okay, he doesn't like the owner. That's the problem. That's why he wanted out. And I think the one thing about James Harden, and yeah, he hasn't gotten to the ultimate success, but I believe the reason why he falters in the playoffs is that he just runs out of gas. I mean, this guy does, up until now and this year, brings it every night in every game. And I think that it's a little different, obviously, of what we're seeing now. And I agree with you in this. I don't like guys that get their own way by, you know, stomping their feet and, you know, acting like a spoiled brat. But I do, it's such a coin flip for me on what Harden and his mindset is going to be moving forward now that he's out of Houston, because I do think that this is a little bit outside of what he usually is character-wise.
If you think that he's making a powerful political statement by gaining 50 pounds and living at a strip club, then good on you.
Hey, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can enjoy yourself while you're doing it, Fish.
You know, and by the way, it's free food at that their strip club, so that's how you gain the 50 pounds. If you're there every night and it's free.
Hey,
you know, yeah,
I can understand it.
One more thing. The trickle down of that is that the Mavericks, of course, have a high opinion of Victor Oladipo, and he ends up now going to Houston. That doesn't close the door on him someday leaving Houston, because, first of all, the trade deadline's coming up, and he's an expiring, and he's free next summer. So Victor Oladipo is the Mav-related name to watch here.
Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider, joining us here at 105 through the Fan. There was some Earl Thomas news yesterday from TMZ that Earl and his estranged wife terrorizing her during a Christmas attack, alcohol involved. Does this pretty much put the end to any hopes you may have of Earl with the Cowboys?
Well, and you just said a bunch of magic words that NFL teams are aware of, and we're aware of it too. And so I'm fine with TMZ using the magic words. I'm not very comfortable with it, frankly, because it's so sad. I'm sad for her. I'm sad for him. I'm sad for the kids. But he's got major issues. And I know teams have done this job. They're like, hey, I wonder if Earl's working on his issues. And what I hear instead is that there's people who've been loyal to him, like friends of his in Austin for a long time, who are no longer loyal to him. And when you start to lose your friends, it should be a wake-up call, and apparently it has not been for Earl Thomas.
I mean, were the Cowboys even kicking the tires on this?
Well, they've been kicking the tires for 2 years. They said no in September.
Mm-hmm.
And then changed safeties every week and kept saying no. So clearly the Mavericks are number one. The Cowboys, number one, they're not surprised by this move, by this story. They're aware of it. And then two, yeah, I think they've closed the book. We wrote a story this week saying, does Dan Quinn coming to town? And we talked about it here.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn coming to town because they have an association from 6 years ago. And when Dan Quinn was the head coach in Atlanta, where their secondary was the worst in football this last year, he didn't sign Earl Thomas to Atlanta. So I don't think that he is a positive influence, a supporter in the building of, oh, I'll bring Earl Thomas here, I'll fix all these problems. Right. I don't think so.
Yeah, oh, couldn't agree more. All right, we'll get more into that story coming up. Fish, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN reporting that the Philadelphia Eagles, in their desperate search for a new head coach, want to interview our very own paper boy, Kellen Moore.
Oh boy. Right as you said it, I just saw it.
Well, now.
Yeah. Okay. Anything to add on that before we get out of here?
The person who's going to pick the new coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans and the Los Angeles Chargers and probably the Detroit Lions is the agent, Bob Lamont. So I don't know if Jeffrey Lurie thinks he's in charge or what, but in Philadelphia, but he's not. The agent's in charge.
Wow. Talk about holding the strings. This is like a Godfather thing with him, it feels like. My goodness. Fish, thank you so much.
All right, man.
All right, take care. That's Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on Twitter here on 105.3 The Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.